So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Praise God. This is our part 3 of the faith series that we're on. And you know, you say, well, we preach about faith a lot. Well, we saw in week 1 how important it is, right? And you don't just get it after hearing it one time. And this is part 3. And let's go ahead and pray and believe for utterance while you're flipping. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the word. This is our change. This is our help. This is where we go from glory to glory. You said if we would know the truth, it would set us free. So it's not just enough to have a truth. We have to know it. And so, Father, we thank you for utterance this morning. I thank you. Make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, speaking words in season, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. Father, help me to say what needs to be said, Father. Help me to minister what needs to be ministered. And Father, whatever you want said or done in this service, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it, for the outcome, for the fruit, for the harvest that it'll bear in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm not going to do a lot of review. I'll just say this, that we do have live stream. Of course, last week our power was out, but thankfully, now this doesn't happen all the time, but right now I'm preaching the same series in Olean. That's our Saturday night church that we have out there, and also Tuesday night. And we do record the services out there. We don't have live stream, but we have them recorded. So last week's service was along the same lines. There was different utterance, but the gist of what we said last week was preached in Olean. So we'll have that on there tomorrow. Reverend Scott said that'll be on there. So I encourage you, if you've missed any of these, after you listen to the first service, you'll see I need to be efficient at faith and proficient at faith, because it's vital. You know, real quick, you can't please God without it. You can't overcome without it. You can't receive the promises of God without it. You can't expect to receive anything from God without it. The Bible says all these things. You can't quench the fiery darts of the wicked without faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, that you don't walk by sight but by faith. There's so many things that require, all things are possible to him that has faith. And so it does you good to learn how to be a faith giant. How your life turns out has everything to do with you, and just actually a little bit to do with God. He's already provided his part, you know. And there's a Godward side, there's a manward side. God speaks, and people need to listen and do what they're told, and operate in faith. Faith is our part. Praise God. Faith is our part. We saw that the first week, and then last week we saw what it was, didn't we? Because if we see it's vital, well, we better find out what the heck it is. And what it is faith is in the unseen realm. Faith has nothing to do with the natural and what you can see. Faith is being convinced of God's promises, of what God says in your situation, that it'll come to pass, that there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You know it's coming to pass. It might not look like it. There might not be any natural sign that the money's coming, that the health is coming, that the situation's turning around, but God's word is enough for you. And remember, we did the example where if I held a bottle of water out and I said, if I'm going to let my hand go, and I would say, how many of you would be convinced that bottle would hit the ground? We all would be convinced. We know the bottle's not going to grow wings. Gravity's not going to all of a sudden stop. It's going to hit the ground, and you're convinced of that. You believe that. Well, apply that to the things in your life, into the healing you're believing God for, into the finances you're believing God for, into the situation with your kids, into the situation with your job, businesses. Are you as convinced as you were that bottle will hit the ground, that those things are turning around? And if you're not, you don't beat yourself up, but you've located yourself and you find out, hey, I need to work on my faith here, because that's the faith that receives. The unwavering faith. We saw a whole generation, 2 million plus people, kept out of one promise, and their carcasses died in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered because they didn't believe. They believed in something, but it was the wrong thing. They believed in the natural. And yes, the natural might be true. Yes, the doctor's report might be true. Yes, the body symptoms might be true. Yes, the checkbook might say that. Yes, your bills might say something. Yes, your kids might be saying something. I'm going to push this down just a little bit. Yes, the job, the economy might be saying something. It might be real. But the Bible says the problem wasn't when they believed in the fact that they didn't they reported and said, this is what's going on. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they put their faith in what they saw instead of putting their faith in what God said. That's the problem. Faith's not telling you to deny your circumstances. If you fall down and break your arm, your bones stick out, blood squirting everywhere, we're not asking you to tell us we think you're fine. Oh, I'm doing great, Pastor. Well, you might want to put a Band-Aid on that or something, right? Faith isn't denying, but faith is, okay, that's going on, but praise God. Go ahead and just turn me right down a little bit, Heather. And I got a big enough voice. I think it'll still pick up on live stream. We're just going to have to yell at Reverend Scott or something. I don't know. He ate my fuzzy. Praise the Lord. And so faith, that's what faith is. That's what faith is. Believing the unseen realm. Believing God's word. So if you're not in that place of being convinced, isn't it interesting? The Bible says that Abraham was promised a son at 100.
Right.
The Bible said his wife was 90, her womb was dead. But Abraham said he didn't consider. Now, I don't know about you, but when you have a baby, the body matters. The health of the body matters. The age of the body matters. And the Bible says he didn't consider his own body, nor did he consider Sarah's body. That wasn't in consideration. See, you're sitting there thinking, well, my bills are telling me I can't do this. Stop considering your bills.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I don't get enough pay for my work, or, you know, I'm retired and my Social Security says this and it doesn't equal. Why is that? God didn't say, my God shall supply all your needs based on your Social Security check. My God shall supply all your needs based on your paycheck. Thank God it doesn't say that. Because there's times when your provision is not going to be enough. Right? Praise God. And so he said he didn't consider it. All he considered was God's word. So that's what faith is. So we saw it's vital. That's my review. We saw that what it exactly is. We're just walking you through this step by step. I try to make it so simple. That's how I learn. Just dumbing it down. That's why I call it. I'm not trying. I mean, that's just me. I dumb it down for, if I can understand it, I figure everybody must be able to understand it. If I've grasped it, and I mean that. I'm not saying that to try to be humble man up here. I mean it. It's true. And so now we saw that it's vital. We saw what it is. So now we have to know how to get it. Because it doesn't just automatically come. We have to know how to obtain this kind of faith, this unwavering faith that can look sickness in the eyes and have a smile on your face knowing healing is yours. That can look poverty and lack in the face and know blessing is right around the corner. That's the kind of unwavering faith. That your children may be doing something or your business is doing something, but you're able to look that situation in that square of the eye and say, it's turning around. It's turning around. Glory to God. It's going to be better than ever before. Praise God. Well, how to get faith? Let me say this about it. How to get it and where it originates from, where it starts from and how to get it come from the same place. And the reason I say that is because it makes it simple once we go on. Maybe it's a little blind to you right now, but you know, think about the clothes that you're wearing. You know, you went to the store to get it, but that's not where those clothes came from. They were most likely made somewhere else, shipped some in, right? I got some maple syrup this week from the Amish family that I became friends with and started to do a little hunting with. And you know, that the syrup's like faith, you know, it came from the same place and I picked it up from the same place, right? They made it at their home and I picked it up from their home. Faith is the same exact way. Where it comes from and where you get it are the same exact source. So we're going to look at two things today. Only two. See, we're doing good. We're going to see where it comes from, and we're going to see how to get it, and you're going to see the common denominator. So in Ephesians 2, in verse 8, it's important to point this out. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." I've asked this question a lot to people, and I think I even, before I got the truth, had the same answer. When people would say, how are you saved? People say, I was saved by my faith. Well, that's not true. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. Grace is the ability and the power of God. Your faith can't do anything apart from God's grace. And we see that here, that the Bible says your salvation came from God's grace, but he had to flow it through your faith. Faith is the pipeline that leads to God's power, right? Remember, I had that job in the oil and gas fields, down in the ditches, laying the line, fusing the 2-inch plastic pipe together so the oil and gas could run through there. You know, the oil and the gas are the money makers. That's what the project foreman's after. That's what the investors are after. That's what the owner of the company's after. That's what the landowner is after. And but here's the thing I know is that's the power, that's the money, that's the energy, but you're not getting that out of the ground until you lay a pipeline. Now, you don't brag on the pipeline. You brag on what's coming out of the ground, but the pipeline's necessary. So why I'm saying that, to go forward here, you'll understand why I'm bringing this point up, is that God is our source. Our faith is not our source. God is our source. Our faith is not our source, but our faith is a necessary part of the equation to get God's promises. Now, here's why I'm telling you that God is your source. Because we're talking about where does faith originate from. This past Friday, I spent all day with the kids. I am amazed. I think she left at 7 a.m. to go shopping and got back between, I think it was almost 10 o'clock, and I just don't even know how that's possible. But I guess for her, it is. You know, she'd probably do it every day if she could. She say no? Well, you know, you got to exaggerate a little bit up here. Praise the Lord, things like that. So I spent the whole day with the kids, and I took them to this place in the Chautauqua Mall called the Bounce. It's like a bounce house. You know, they fill the things up with air, and they bounce around, slide down big slides and things. And man, they just had a ball. They loved it, you know. And I've talked about something like this before, but it brings out the point. You know, Caleb is like me. It's like all or nothing with that kid. Okay, he liked it, so we are going every day. Like tomorrow, we'll be back here. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back the next day. That's what he thinks in his mind, you know. And so he's already talking about on Friday going back on Saturday. Well, you know, it's one thing, of course, that's not realistic that we can live that way and every day go to the bounce house. I mean, that would be a fun life if they'd start letting parents get on that stuff. I don't know if I'd want to sit back and watch all the time, but anyways, he can be all excited about it. He can want to do that. He can go to bed dreaming about the bounce house and thinking about what he's going to do there. But if dad or mom has not told him we're going there tomorrow, it's really just resting in hope.
Yeah, that's good.
But if I tell him that we're going there tomorrow, he can rest in faith and be assured of it. And that's why I say that it's the source is from God. Think about it. If you came in contact with somebody that was super, super wealthy, a super wealthy businessman, and you knew their finances, it was made public, and you befriended that person maybe somewhere, and you got to talking, and you know, they represent your debt being paid off. I mean, it would be simple for them to pay your debt off. You know, your mortgage, your student loans, car loans, everything, credit card debts and different things like that. And they represent that. But you know, you don't have any hope, faith, I should say, until they open their mouth and say something directed to you. Now, light bulbs are going to start going off here in a second. They have to say something towards your life before you can grasp onto it and be assured, yes, they have the money, yes, they have the ability, but now they have the willingness and the want to because they've said something. It's the same way with faith. You can't move forward in faith until you get God to say something about your situation. So what does the temperature say on there? Okay, 72. So if it goes to 73, the air's kicking on. We got that thing at 72. I'm like, I am hot up here. What's going on? Is our AC not working? But it'll kick on here in a second. Until God says something about your situation, you'll go to bed and you'll wander around and just hope and just, well, I just really would be really wishful that this would happen. But once you get a word from Him towards your situation, the same way that when my child gets a word from me that we're going to do this because he knows his daddy. He knows, okay, it's a done deal. Daddy said it. Once you get a word from that, then you can go forward in believing God in that faith, that unwavering faith. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now this is after the 40 years of wandering when those people missed out on God's promises. God told them for 40 years you'll wander. That generation will not see it except for Caleb and Joshua. They died in the wilderness. Now it's 40 years after and God's plan didn't change. It's amazing how people will think that God's plan has changed. You know, I had an interesting thing just happen to me, not at this church. And I'm not kidding you. This is the case. I tell you these stories. I think that you think I'm joking around maybe because it happens so often. Every service I preached, this is just recent, would come up to me. Praise the Lord, right? Every service I would preach, they would come up to me and they would tell me, you are a gift to this city. You have been sent here to change. I mean, I wasn't saying this about myself. You are a gift from God. You are going to change this area. Darkness is going to be blasted out of this place now. Finally, the word, I'm talking every service. Boom, up and vanished, gone. I've been called here. This is where, for years we've been looking for something. Boom, gone, no phone call, vanished. I mean like disappearing, hocus pocus, gone. Without a word at all. Come to find out, finally, a couple months later, through the grapevine, They finally gave someone a reason, and it had to do with being with the Word of God and not agreeing with the policies of the Word of God in a church. And it's amazing, because why I'm saying that is that God's plan after 40 years didn't change. If God has called you somewhere and you're flourishing and thriving, listen, because you're mad at somebody, because you don't agree with the Word, God's mind has not changed. And I always, I get frustrated by that, because people miss out. They miss out. He's got a plan for him. I just don't know why I said that, but I said it anyways. Anyways, this is 40 years after. I just needed to say it, because you need to know how the devil works. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Anyways, Moses, minister, I was going to make a joke. It was so dumb that I'm not even going to say it anymore. Verse 2. I was going to say the son of a nun. Well, I didn't think nuns had kids. How is that possible? That's not even funny. That's stupid. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan. Now, this is God talking to Joshua. Moses is dead. He's saying, listen, my plan hasn't changed. Go back and get that land. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over into this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. Isn't that what he told them 40 years earlier? It's yours. It's yours. Even the children of Israel, every place the sole of your foot shall tread. Verse 3, you shall have, and I give unto you, as I said unto Moses, from this wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. What's he doing? He's getting a word from God.
Yes.
There shall not be any man. I love how God gets specific. He said, there shall not be any man that will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Well, remember when the spies went in, they said, one of the reasons we can't have it, because there's people there. There's cities there. They've built walls. There's fortresses. There's already people there. They're as big as giants. We're like grasshoppers. So now God's saying, there ain't no man that's going to be able to stand against you. He says, I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. He says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Notice that. A couple of things I want you to see out of those two verses. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, guess what? He didn't just mean that. Didn't just mean that for Joshua. He means that for all of us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. But then I want you to notice this. He says, be strong and of good courage. Well, he wouldn't have told them to be strong and of good courage if he didn't expect that they were going to face opposition. Why do Christians get so alarmed and so shocked and so offended and so blown away when opposition comes? Can you go outside? There's some kids riding around right on the railings there, and it's kind of, just let them know not to be on the railings. And people get so crazy and they get opposition, and Lord said, listen, I have a land for you, but just so you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. There's going to be opposition. Praise God. It's the same with you. Don't be alarmed. Be excited. Be overjoyed when the money's not there. You say, you are nuts. No, I am biblical. Count it all joy when you fall into various types of trials. Why? Because what's on the other side of that? I've just become this crazy, weird guy. That when something happens to me, I start rejoicing, I start dancing. Oh, what do you want to keep me from now, devil? What are you trying to hide from me now? You think that's going to stop me? And see, what he does is he puts up a little bit of a dust storm. He gets people all freaking out, and they back off the things of God. They back off the things of God. They get afraid, right? They back off, and he's like, oh, that was easy. It's like, I'll just say this. This is camp of my heart. You know why people don't hear from God? Because people don't take time to hear from God. He said, I will reward them who diligently seek him. See, you get 5-10 minutes into praying, and you get hungry, and your mind goes off for it. You say, oh, I did that, and I'm out of here. I didn't hear anything from God. You spent 10 minutes. That ain't diligence. And see, if the devil knows it, you have to understand, he'll do everything he can to keep you out of church. He'll do everything he can to keep you out of that place of prayer. He'll do everything he can to keep you out of the Word. And if all he's got to do is just float in the Spirit a little cheeseburger in front of your face and start putting all the laundry in your head and start telling you this and getting you antsy and getting you sleepy, and that's all he's got to do to keep you from your blessings, he's got it easy with you. He's got it easy with you. God's telling us here, listen, if you're going to go higher, get ready for opposition. Get ready for a pushback. But be crazy like your pastor and rejoice. Laugh in the face of poverty. Laugh in the face of sickness. Laugh in the face of fear. That's what I do. Praise the Lord. I just put it on. Praise God. And start doing it. Hallelujah. He said, be strong of good courage, for unto this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong, second time he tells them, and very courageous, that you may observe to do according. See, what was they trying to do? Go into the promised land. God has a promised land for you, but if you're going to get there, you're going to have to be strong and you have to be very courageous. You can't be a wimp. You can't be a quitter. You can't be thin-skinned. You can't be touchy. You can't be fretful. You got to stand your ground and go after that thing. The devil is good at what he does. He is good at what he does, but you got to be better and outlast that little sucker. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. You do. He told them twice, be strong, be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it the left hand or to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall your way be prosperous, then you shall have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you. Wherever you go, some of you need to take that verse and shove it in your back pocket and keep it wherever you go. When you go to the bank, when you go to your desk and look at your bills, when you go to the doctor, when you're sitting there at night meditating and all the fear and worries and everything comes, that you need to pull that verse out and say, nope, that's mine. That's mine. Hallelujah. I don't know what you did this morning, but you got me going. Praise the Lord. Notice verse 10. So what happened in verses 1 through 9? God told Joshua, he gave him a word on something. Notice Joshua, after the 40 years was up, didn't do anything until he got the word of God.
Yeah.
He needed to know, before I go forward in this, I got to know that I know that heaven's backing me.
Right.
See, because you can't have anything, like we talked about Caleb, like we talked about the wealthy business person, you can't have anything unless heaven's backing it. You can't have faith for anything unless heaven's backing it, is what I should say. Verse 10, so God just pumps Joshua up. Joshua just gets a lesson in the Word. Then, everyone say then. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, so now he's saying, all right, the Lord told me I can do this. God told me to get ready for the fight. God told me it's mine. Now, he said, pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over. Do you hear the faith in this man? For 3 days you will pass over this Jordan, and you will go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word. Remember the word. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land, your wives, your little ones. Now he's pumping up the whole, he's even going into their cattle. He says, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on the side of Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, and as he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. Not go there beaten and tattered and bruised and worthless and now it's over because you spent all your energy. No, enjoying the promises of God. And Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side and Jordan to the rising of the sun. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Why? They said, that's a man of God speaking the word of God. He's one to jump on the coattails of. He's going to waltz us right into that promise that 40 years ago our relatives missed out on. Glory to God. My point is this. If you're going to step out into believing God and having that unwavering faith, you have to have a word from Him. Without the word from Him, your foundation will be one of sand. It'll be shifting. It'll be soft. It'll be like those bounce houses. You should have seen Abby in that thing. She couldn't stand up for the life of her. At first, she did not like that at all. And then she got the point that it's fun to fall around and bounce a little bit, right? But that's not what you want the foundation of your life built on. Shifting and bouncing and swaying and moving and sinking and different things. And if you wake up and you're believing God for healing, and you're believing God for prosperity, and you're believing God for your family, and you're believing God for your business, and you have no promise. My question is, what is your faith resting on? It's not resting on anything. It's uncertain. There's no foundation. Mark chapter 14 and verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. Praise God. What am I saying? The first thing we're looking at, and point two doesn't take this long, but number one is, where does this faith come from? Where does this faith? It always originates from somewhere. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained or commanded his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. So he told the disciples, go in a boat, go there, I'll meet up with you later, I'm going to pray. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. You could say this, it wasn't good conditions for sailing that night. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, or immediately, Jesus spoke unto them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said to him, I love this. I love this. Sometimes we pick on Peter, but I love the faith and the spiritual intelligence of Peter. When he saw Jesus, he didn't just jump into the water. If he would have, he would have went down under. Why? Because there's nothing on earth that tells you you can walk on water. Right. He had no word from God. Right? And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, you bid me or command me or give me the permission to come out of the water. And Jesus said to him, come. So what happens? Peter now gets a word from God concerning his situation. That changes everything. Now it doesn't matter that there's wind. Now it doesn't matter that there's waves. Now it doesn't matter that it will defy all laws of gravity and physics and whatever goes into it scientifically that makes us not allowed to walk on water. I don't know what all there is, but he said that don't matter anymore. Jesus, the Son of God, the voice of God, has told me I can do this. I hope light bulbs are going off. The doctor is saying to you, this is what we see. This is the progress. This is what's happening. This is your outlook. Well, that doesn't matter when you can get a word from heaven which will defy all the natural things of the body, all natural medicine. You say, the finances say this, my debt says this, my paycheck says this, and the calculator says this. That all won't matter once you can get a word from heaven that will defy the calculator, that will defy your paycheck, that will defy your thoughts and your bills. He said, come, and the Bible says when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Yeah. Do you see that? Yeah. He actually did what Jesus said he could do. Isn't that awesome that Jesus didn't lie to him? But then we see what happened. But there's that dumb but again. Boy, we see that a lot, don't we? But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, what happened? Did God's word change? Did God tease Peter? No. He took his faith off of the word and put it on the circumstances. See, the wind didn't change. The waves didn't change. When he stepped out on that boat, they were just as bad as ever. You know? Yeah. The bills maybe didn't get worse. The body maybe didn't get worse. But what did you take your eyes off of? Did you take your eyes off of the promise? Yeah, because you start getting your eyes on your bills, and I'll tell you what, the faith will start building for the lack. You keep your eyes on the symptoms and what Google's saying and what the doctor's saying and how what someone else had this and this happened to them, and you keep letting that come in, that's where your faith will be. Yeah, absolutely. What does it say in 1 John 2 and verse 15? I'm going to tell you. 1 John 5 and verse 14, I'm sorry. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have. The Bible says you can be 100% successful in your faith life if, again, you base it on his will. What am I saying? A spoken word towards your life that God says you can have it. You can rest assured that you'll have whatever you ask for. That's 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the assurance. This is the confidence. If we ask according to his will, he hears us and we have it. Now, I hear people say this all the time. I'm going to take a leap of faith. I've said it. You've probably said it. You've probably heard it. And to me, that belittles this whole message. Because with God, a leap of faith, does that denote to you some kind of a desperation? To me, there's some kind of desperation in a leap of faith. And I've said it. I've said it. But Lord corrected me yesterday about a leap of faith. And when you're stepping out in true faith, what you're stepping out of is your situation. When he stepped out onto the water, he wasn't stepping onto the water. He was stepping out onto God's promises that kept him above the water. When you're stepping out onto God's word, that is not desperation. Yeah. That is not a leap of faith and all. I'm just hoping it works out. You are stepping out on the most sure foundation there is on planet Earth. It does not shift. It does not sway. It does not crack. It does not sink. It does not break. It does not wobble. It is the surest foundation that you'll ever find. And when you say, oh, a leap of faith, it's like you're jumping out onto like a kayak or you're jumping into on a surfboard just hoping to just hang on. No! When you step out onto God's Word, that's where you need to be. That's where the steadiness will come from. I looked up the Department of Natural Resources. Now, I'm not here to measure Jim, because we're not sure who's taller. We could just settle this once and for all in front of the whole church. And just, I still think I am. He thinks he is, too, so don't get me wrong. But anyways, the Department of Natural Resources, 4 inches, not a lot, is it? 4 inches. Actually, one place I found said 3, so I'll go even down to 3. I used to go fishing with my dad. It's the reason I don't fish anymore. He just was not patient with me, and I can't stand it now because he just was, I mean, he was so good at it, and he just didn't have the patience to show me how. But we used to go ice fishing, and I used to bring a football on that ice. And it'd be snow on there, and I'd make a, you know, yard lines and things, and I'd throw the ball up to myself and catch it and try to keep my feet in bounds on the ice. But I know this about them, that they never thought twice about stepping out on the ice. And the Bible says, or the Department of Natural Resources say that all you need is 3 inches. 3 inches to step out and go fishing. A human being to walk out on that. Now, you know that if you fall through the ice, it's trouble. Yeah. I mean, people die all the time from accidents like that. You get under there, you can't find the hole, or you get hypothermia, you know, whatever happens. 3 inches. And people will walk out on that thing, sure as can be, having a great time, spend all day on that and not think twice about that thing cracking. But when it comes to the Word of God, well, I don't know. He said He'd meet all my needs, bro. I don't know. Is it strong enough to hold me? He said He'd heal my diseases, but I don't know. They say with 8 inches, you can drive a vehicle on there. 8 inches. And people will take out ATVs and snowmobiles and different things, rip across that ice, not think a thing about it. But the Word is some unsure, unsteady foundation. It's backwards. Stop letting the devil twist your mind that when you go out in faith that it's some desperation, you're out on the end of the limb. No, you're stepping out on where you need to be. Solid ground. Solid ground. Hallelujah. Think of the different things that you'll entrust your whole life to. You'll entrust your life to something that hangs in the air that has red, green, and yellow on it. How many times have you zipped through an intersection when the light is green, not even looking either side, that could T-bone you and kill you and take you out? And you never thought twice because you saw that it said green, and so you knew that the other side meant red. You put your whole life, all your children in the back seat, the family in the front seat, you put everything on the line because you believe that that thing is going to tell those other people to stop their cars, and you go right through it. Don't even think twice. Yeah, it's true. Or a stop sign. Put all your faith in that. They have a stop sign. They're going to stop. And you just go right through it. But God's Word, it's backwards. It's backwards. He's not a liar. Why do people struggle with tithing? They don't trust Him. Why do people struggle with the love walk? They don't trust. Why do people struggle with the giving up of the world, taking their eyes out of the world and doing things? Because they don't trust that His way is better. Because they think the Word is some unsure foundation that, oh, I'm just going to just try it. No, it's the best thing you could ever step out on. So that's number one. Number two will be a lot shorter. Number one is, where does it come from? Faith comes from the Word of God. Faith originates, or you could say it this way, faith is birthed where the will of God is known. Until you get a word on your situation, you can't have Bible faith. Because you can't have what He said. You can't have faith for what He doesn't say you can have. Amen? But praise God, He's got a good life for you. There's a whole lot you can have. So then number two, how do we get it? Romans 10:17. Very familiar verse around here. Romans 10:17. How do we get this faith? It comes from the Word. So how do we get it though? Same place where it came from. Verse 10. So then faith, there's that word faith, so much encapsulates faith, right? Quenching the devil, right? Receiving the promises, overcoming the world, pleasing God, receiving from Him, not leaving promises undone, all things being possible. So you could throw all that in there with that word faith. So then faith comes or is born, or you could say it this way, faith arrives on the scene, faith shows up, that faith that will go through your problems like a hot knife through butter, praise God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That faith that you need to destroy that poverty, to destroy that sickness, to destroy that torment and that bondage in your mind is coming from God's Word. The same source of where faith originates from is how you get it. The Word of God. Praise the Lord. And I love it here in the Message Bible. Listen to what it says. It says, the point is, of talking about this verse, before you trust, remember Joshua, before he went and did anything, he waited to hear from God. Before you trust, you have to listen. But listen to what? But unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. He's saying trust is going to come from God saying something. Again, breaking it down to the smallest of smallest, telling Caleb we're going somewhere. When he hears Daddy say it, we're going. We're going. Dad said it. Dad said it. I have assurance. I could tell everyone. Dad said it. Praise God. Dad said it. Hallelujah. And here's what I'll say. I don't mean to be mean to people, and I don't mean to pick people apart. I don't mean to be demeaning. You know my heart. I love people. But that's like people that step out in their situations to believe God and don't have a word from Him. That's like walking out under that ice and not having a clue how thick it is. You don't even know what your foundation is. You don't even know what's underneath you. You're just going on a prayer and on a hope. That's why I'm amazed as a pastor when I know people are going through things and say, and they'll say, standing in faith for my healing, standing in faith for my prosperity, standing in faith for my family, standing in faith for my marriage, standing in faith for this, for that. And I'll say, oh yeah, okay, you're standing, right? Well, let's find out what you're standing on. I'm thinking that in my head. I'm not saying that. Right. But in my head, I'm thinking, well, let's find out what you're standing on. I'll say, awesome, praise God, that's great. That's the realm you need to be in faith. What verse are you standing on? And if you've done this, I'm not picking on you. So you're telling me you're on a wobbly foundation. You don't really have faith. You have hope. You're hoping it turns around, but you don't really have anything to grab on. See, the Word gives you something to grab onto to say, He said it, He said it, He said it. Because He said it, it'll come to pass. I don't know. I don't know. And you're not in faith. Yeah. Remember I told you, I won't go through this whole story, but remember the house that we got was after she quit her job, and she made way more money than I made pastoring. And she quit her job, and we looked for 26 months in the South Dayton, Cherry Creek area out here for a home. We tried to move out here. And it wasn't working out, and we were getting ready to have another baby, and I knew we needed a bigger house. I knew Lord had provision for us. And so, you know, when things aren't working out for you after 26 months, it might be time to hit the floor and ask God. I know, dirt to dirt, Pastor Mike, right? But that's just telling you the truth. I do it too. And I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, you're not to move out of this area yet. And He has said, show me some reasons why. You're not to move out of this area yet. I said, okay, so I'll start looking around here. And it didn't take me more than a day or two to find a house that I drove by and something went off in my spirit. Well, I pulled into the driveway of that house with Pastor Tim and just sat there and kind of looked at it. And, man, that's wonderful, you know, and looked it up on a Real Estate Advantage or something like that and saw that it had 20 acres and saw that it had two big barns on it and, you know, a deck like we wanted. It had the, you know, when we were believing for a house, we wanted a garage that was on the side of the house, not front facing. It had that. It had a fireplace in it. There was just certain things we wanted. But then I saw the price tag. And the price tag was more money than what we got approved for when she was still working her job and I was pastor and we had two salaries. It was thousands of dollars more, tens of thousands of dollars more than we were approved for when we both had a job. And yet I had this urge, this leading. I didn't have peace walking away from it. And so I just obeyed my heart to go in there. And I stepped 1 foot through the front door. And we have a living room that goes into a kitchen and then goes into another door that goes into the laundry room. And I stepped in, one step in, and the Holy Spirit said, "This is your house." I knew I heard from heaven. Now, here's the thing. Once, just because God, now we've learned this with the children of Israel, just because God says something doesn't mean it happens. Right? His plan was not for them to wander 40 years and to die in the wilderness. He tells people that salvation is there, yet people die and go to hell every day. He says healing belongs to people, but people, a lot of people aren't healed. He says prosperity and financial provision is available for everybody, but not everybody's living it. Just because he says something, so he told me that, well, I knew it wasn't going to fall out of the sky. I knew now there's a Godward side. He said I can have it. Now it's my time to be strong and very courageous and go in and possess the land. And I knew that, right? But see, I could go into that house, not have anything click off in my spirit, and just want it so bad, not have anywhere near the money to get it, not have anywhere near the credit to be able to get it, or to be approved because of our income versus our outflow and different things. And I could go in there and I can confess, that's my house, that's my house, that's my house, until I get a word from heaven on something specific. Now, there was a house available to us. There always is supply and provision, but when you're talking about going something that's above and beyond what you have, that's when the God and the supernatural is going to have to kick in. Right. So I can go in there and say, oh, I want that. Can you afford it? Nope. But it's going to be mine. It's going to be mine. What word do you have from God? Nothing. But see, now I got a word of God. So now I could step out on that, and every time I drive by, I say, that's my house. That's my house. And I'd say, oh, it's going to be nice seeing my kids grow up here. And I was picturing all the things that we're going to do with the house. But what was able to step out on? When I got a word. When I got a word from God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. When I got a word from God. Mark 4 and verse 24, and we'll close. Gotta have a word from God. Now, most of the things are in the Bible. You know, for you to have a successful marriage, successful kids, provision in your life, healing in your body, peace in your mind. The majority of things are covered in the Word of God. You don't need a word from heaven. But maybe a certain job you're going to take, maybe a spouse that you're going to start to date and possibly marry and where to live and maybe what vehicle to buy. You know, maybe God wants you to stretch your faith a little bit to believe Him for a better vehicle, maybe a better home. Those things, you're not going to have maybe a specific verse like that that says, buy this house. But the Word of God is the same spoken by the Holy Ghost as it is the written Word. It's still the Word of God.
Yeah.
Still the Word of God. Mark 4 and verse 24. And Jesus said unto them, take heed. Take heed. Wouldn't it be wise for us to start listening to Him?
Yeah.
Where along the line do we get in Christianity where we think it's okay to disobey? I mean, I've been there. Listen, I'm not standing up here from this holier-than-thou platform. I mean, I read that, I'm thinking, where was it ever okay to do some of those things or to think that that was okay? Like, He said, take heed to what you hear. What's He saying? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Your ears are your faith gates. What do I mean? Faith enters and can begin through your ears because hearing the Word of God, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Well, you know that faith can come for the wrong things by hearing. I'm going to just say it. We're going to be preaching on holiness in the near future because it's a lost art in the body of Christ. But the Bible says to come out among them, be ye separate, be ye clean, be holy, for I am holy, right? The wages of sin is death, right? There's consequences to these things. Thank God for mercy and grace when you slip up. But some people just live their lives like God isn't real. Some people just live their lives like they're never going to stand before Jesus. Like it's just okay to go certain places and listen to certain things and watch certain things. Let me ask you a question. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I preached in youth group, you talk about flesh and carnality and sin problems, preach at a youth group. They're dealing with it, right? You know, all sorts of different things in their life. Just flesh and things are raging at those ages. And I said, you want a cure for your sin problem? I guarantee if Pastor Mike went everywhere with you, you wouldn't watch those shows. You wouldn't listen to that music. You wouldn't talk that way to your parents. You wouldn't do that with your body. If I'm always arm in arm with you, oh, you're going to put on the best show. I know because I put on the best show when my pastor's around. I said, you don't need me around. You need to renew your mind to Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He says, I will never leave you. Jesus is always seeing what you're doing. He's always right there watching what you're watching. He's always present. Always present. Now thank God he's so loving and kind. But people just go on living like he didn't die for the very things that they're continuing to walk in. Heavy, isn't it? But be careful what you hear, he says, not to get you in condemnation, but he's saying, listen, if you hear the wrong things, your faith will be built. If you're going to sit around and watch the news all day long, it ain't positive. I'm not saying the news is bad, but if you're going to sit around and listen to it all day long, guess what? When you press on a sponge that's been dipped in milk, grape Kool-Aid doesn't come out. If you've been putting in doubt and unbelief and fear and things, you're listening to wrong music for hours a day. I mean, don't let country music fool you, folks. Yeah. Listen to it for long enough. Yeah. You think, oh, you're just nuts, Pastor Mike. You're wrong. I am nuts. You're absolutely right. I'm nuts for Jesus. I'm trying to keep people from, you listen to it long enough. What is it? It's about doing wrong things with people and you're not married. It's about cheating on this and walking away. Most of it, I'm not saying all of it. Most of it is about doom and gloom and this didn't work out and sad songs and this. Go ahead and listen to it all you want. Keep watching those television shows over and over and over and over again. Guess what's going to be filled in you? It ain't going to be victory and joy and peace and faith because you've been a sponge dipped in milk. Stop expecting pop to come out. Jeez. Again, I'm preaching to myself here as well. I'm trying to bring you up higher, not squash you and hurt you and make it bad for you. Jesus said, be careful what you hear because he knew that if you hear, you're going to have faith. If you're always around negative people that are telling you it's never going to work out and fill you, that's what you're going to have faith for. If you're always watching inappropriate things, it's going to be very hard to live a holy life. It's going to be very hard to walk out holiness and the blessings depend on you doing those things. It's going to be very hard. I'm just trying to help you here, not hurt you. I love all of you so much. I love all of you. So be careful. So I'll say all that to say this. He said that it's got to come from him. He's the source, but faith comes by hearing. Whatever you're going through, it's not only just being careful to not hear the wrong things, it's making sure to put your ears into the right things and filling your ears with the right things so you can have faith, right? Praise God. What you're going through, stop wishing and hoping and get a word from him. If it's healing, find out healing scriptures. When I was going through condemnation, I was immersed face first into condemnation scriptures. In righteousness scriptures. When I was going through physical things in my body, I was immersed in physical scriptures and healing scriptures. When it was mental things and anguish in my mind, that's what I was in. When it was prosperity, that's what I was in. Because I needed a word. I needed to know I could step out in these things, that it was sure foundation, that it was going to turn around. Get a word from him. So number one, we saw how important faith was. Number two, we saw what faith is. And number three, we saw how to get it. And next week, we're going to see how to use it. Glory to God. Just walking you through these. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We bless you today, Father. Let's give him glory and thank him. You know, when grandma or somebody or mom makes a wonderful meal, I hope that you don't eat it and walk away without saying thank you. Lord, just fed us good. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the meal of faith we just received, Lord. We're so grateful and so thankful for what we've received. So thankful for what we've received. So wonderful to us. So kind to us. So good to us. Lord, you're not trying to hurt our lives. You're not trying to hurt us. You're trying to help us. We bless you, Father. Lord, if you've said it, it will come to pass. Lord, we need to be like a bulldog on a bone and not let go of that promise. Hold on to that thing until we see it turn around. No matter how big and bad the wind gets, no matter how hard the rains come, no matter how wild the floods and overflowing it gets, we hold on to that promise. Like a bulldog on a bone. We praise you, Father. We bless you this morning. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all you're doing for us. And Father, we just thank you for Jesus, most importantly. We're so thankful for Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed real quick. If you've never accepted Jesus, or you could say it, an easier way to know is if today were your last day on planet Earth, would you go to heaven? If your answer is, I don't know, then you need Jesus. And It's simple. It doesn't have anything to do with what you've done or haven't done or what you've done with church or what you've done in the offering. It's all about if you believe Jesus died and rose again, you believe that He did that, and you ask Him into your heart, you can be saved. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you want to receive Jesus, nobody's looking. You've never done it before. Would you just lift your hand? We're not going to embarrass you if you want to receive Him. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much for your boldness. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Glory to God. Well, for that person that raised your hand, number one, I'm so proud of you. Praise God. God's got such a good plan for your life. And it all starts at the cross and salvation. And if you're the person that raised your hand and you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, He wants to come and be a part of your life and just absolutely bless you. So nobody's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. For that person that raised your hand, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let's all pray a prayer together with that bold person this morning. And if you're the one that raised your hand, you say this after me, but mean it with all your heart. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You rose again from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am so proud of you raising your hand. Glory to God. God's got a good plan for you. Hallelujah. It all starts in the local church under a Bible teaching pastor. Love for you to be here, but you go where you're called. Hallelujah. Well, have an awesome rest of the weekend. We'll see you here Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed. Hallelujah.